Mr. Bob is right. We have traveled to a number of different places. We've did a seminar in France. And in fact, if I can tell this on him, you know, they told us at the time we were there in France, in Paris, they had 9 million poodles. So we're walking down the street and trying to get around the things on the street. And Pastor Bob said, "We need a super duper pooper scooper." And I've never forgot that, Bob. Words of wisdom. Yeah, that's the land of poodles, all right. Also tonight, I have some dear friends with us tonight from, used to be in Florida. And the children's pastors that were with us for 24 years. I finally just had to run them off. But we have Bill and Vicki Burns with us tonight. And also Severin and Elaine Swinson sitting next to them. And these guys were all a part of our church. Severin, I thought about that. Yeah, praise God. Why don't you guys stand? Let them see who you are. Go ahead and stand. All four of you. Praise God. Severin and Elaine, I thought of that flag that you used to have on top of your house when we had all that heavy wind. I don't remember whether it was a hurricane or just heavy winds, but everything was blowing down. And the little flag said, "Jesus is Lord." And when the wind stopped, the flag was still standing. That was such a miracle. Jesus is Lord. And so I just happened to think about that while we were sitting, while we were singing a few moments ago. But what an honor to be with our friends, Bob and Joy Nichols. These are great, great people. I tell you, you don't really realize how these folks are admired around the world. I'm telling you the truth now. And they are great people. What a legacy that they are going to leave behind, not only this ministry here, but all the outreach, all the things that are done in Uganda. I mean, of course, you're going to have them around a few more years. Hallelujah. So we're excited about that with you. Amen. And they've done so much for God, and we have traveled to Africa, we've traveled to Haiti and preached with them. I could tell you some more stories, but I won't. But it was a great, great, great time that we did for the Lord. Right now, I'm kind of, I'll say semi-retired. My son was a missionary in Africa for 25 years and has established churches there. He gives apostolic oversight to them. And he has come back and taken the church. He didn't take it away from me. I laid hands on him and imparted to him. But so Marianne and I have some time. We've taken a month off just traveling around. And we just visited down in the Austin area. And I am a Texan. I was born and raised in Texas. And it's not that I hate to say it, but I don't want to throw off on anybody's team, but my team is the Texas Longhorns, and have some here tonight. And as we approached Austin, I saw this orange aura over the city, and so, but anyway, I'll stop being silly, we'll just get started here. But just before I do, I want to just tell you a little brief story. I've got to tell a story every once in a while, and this man worked all of his life, three or four jobs, just to lay up wealth. And I mean, he worked all the time, 7 days a week if he could. And so he got very sick and was near death, and he called his wife in. He said, "Honey, I want you to promise me that when I die, you'll draw all of my money out of the bank and put it in my casket. I want to take it with me." And she said, "I can't do that." He said, "Promise me." And she thought a minute. She said, "Okay, I promise." So finally the guy did pass on. And at the funeral, before they closed the casket, she asked him, said, "Hold it just a minute." And she went up and put a box in the casket. And she went back to her seat. And her friend knew that she had promised her husband that she would give him the money, his money. And she said, honey, you didn't put that man's money in that casket, did you? She said, I sure did. I promised him I would. He said, what I did, I drew all the money out of his bank, put it in my checking account. I wrote him a check, and if he can cash it, he can spend it. So you got to watch those promises sometime, right? Oh, my. So if you have your Bibles with you tonight, and I trust you do, actually Easter Sunday evening, listen, this is a good crowd because people have been out all day. They've been had friends over and family over and everything else. So I'm just so glad to see you guys come out tonight, and let me share a few words with you. Turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of Luke. The book of Luke. And this is when Jesus gives Peter a prophecy. Here's what he says in the 22nd chapter of the book of Luke, beginning with verse number 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. 32, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Peter said, but he said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. You know, Peter, I really believe that he meant that. And he had a way of sticking his foot in his mouth most of the time. But I believe he really meant that. But I don't, I really don't believe that he thought that that was going to happen. But he did. He was willing to say, at least, Lord, I will stay with you, and I'll be willing to go to prison, and I would even die with you. He thought he knew his own heart. Verse number 34. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. Now, how many of you tonight have seen people that have dropped out of their ministry or their job or have fallen miserably short of their call or their potential? This happened not because of sin. It happened because they just simply lost heart. And the faith that they once walked in, the faith that kept them going, the faith that sustained their passion and drive was gone. And you know, if we're not careful, that can happen to anybody. And so it's so important. And tonight, my message is that your faith fail not. That's the title of my message, that your faith fail not. Now, Jesus was about to be arrested and, of course, tried, convicted, and crucified. We know the story. But Peter, there was no way that he was going to deny the Lord. I mean, that's exactly the way he felt. He would not deny the Lord, but we know that he did. And when you look at the scripture, Jesus was giving him a prophecy. Before the rooster crows tomorrow, you'll deny three times that you even know me. But I want you to notice the scripture says this, and this is also a part of the prophecy I believe that Peter missed at this particular time. You will repent and be a leader of my people. When you have repented, here's what it says, when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. Hallelujah. Now, the reason I say that about Peter, because when you look at the scriptures, remember when Jesus said, go and tell my disciples and Peter. I believe Peter didn't even feel like he qualified anymore. after denying Jesus. And you know that he went out and wept bitterly as a result of that. So he beat himself up. And you know, I can identify with that. Not that I have denied the Lord, but I know that the lifestyle that I live when I came to Christ, our marriage was actually on the rocks. By the way, my lovely wife, love her tonight. She's a blessing. We've been married 54 years. That was back when Moby Dick was a minnow. And so, anyway, boy, she doesn't laugh. I get a little worried. But anyway, she said, I've heard that 100 times. But because of my lifestyle, my past, I was an alcoholic. I was drinking at about the age of 11, 12, right in there. And my dad was an alcoholic. Both brothers were alcoholics. And I was just destined to go in that direction. And I was miserable. But, you know, I was raised in a little Southern Baptist church in South Texas. And got training there. And my mom was a godly woman. And she prayed for her family all the time. And so my marriage actually was on the rocks. We were really going through some stuff. And I had a boating accident. Won't go into all of it. I may have mentioned it when I preached here before. But I almost drowned in the lake that day. And just really knew I was about to split hell wide open because of my lifestyle. And I had enough Baptist training to know that. And so I prayed in the lake that day and asked God to give me one more chance. If he would, I'd serve him. I said that. I'll serve you, Lord. And he did, and I have. Hallelujah, all of these years in serving God. And the greatest thing that I have discovered, as far as I'm concerned, one of the greatest things, revelations from the Word of God, a strong revelation, and that is that when God saved me, just like when he saved you, he imparted his life and his nature to you. Do you understand that? He imparted your life, his life and nature to you. And so I remember it like it was yesterday. It's so vivid in my heart today. And I've often said that God gave my wife a new husband. And my kids a new daddy. And you know, after all these years, I still weep when I talk about it. Because I know what he did inside of me. Oh, hallelujah. And to look at the 300, 150 at this altar and then children today. And to know that. Only God knows their heart. But I believe those people were truly, I'm just saying by faith, we believe they were all born again. Hallelujah. And God imparted the life and nature in every heart here today. His life and his nature in every heart, and their lives were changed. But I said all that to say this, I didn't feel like I was worthy. I did not feel like I was worthy. Not only to be a child of God, but certainly to preach the gospel. I never totally, you know, got over the fact that my past, my background, and I used to say, well, Marianne and I both would say, well, Lord, what about us? I mean, why are we, pastoring a church that's growing and flourishing and you're blessing it and all of that? We used to say that, and you know what? Dale Gentry came to our church the very first time back in 1987. And when he stood up on the platform, he called me and said, Pastor, step forward, please. He said, God is telling me to tell you, stop saying that you're not worthy. Stop saying why you and why Marianne. He said, because God's called you. And you know, the scripture tells us so plainly that we need to hold fast to what God does in us, and we need to live a life of faith and know that what God did in us, he did it on a permanent basis if we'll only cooperate with him, right? So if we'll cooperate with God, God will do that in us and much, much more. Hallelujah. So I love to just say today, listen, I'm where I'm supposed to be, preaching and teaching the gospel. I may be semi-retired. I guess that's what they call it, Bob. I'm not sure. But I'm telling you what, as long as I live, I'm going to preach the gospel. As long as there's breath in my body, I'm going to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. And so I'm serving. We're still serving in our church at home and love every minute of it. We've got a few that have left, like Billy Burns and Vicky Burns, that have left and just ran the other way. No, they didn't. They served faithfully for 24 years. Isn't that an awesome thing? As our children's pastors. And then I couldn't understand it when they left. People actually wept. And anyway, let me move on here. But they did an awesome, awesome job for us. And so we've got wonderful people, Bob, just like you have them here, Pastor and Joy. Just like you guys have them here, we have them there as well. People that love God, people that will go the extra mile to see things accomplished for Christ and for the kingdom. But let me get on here this morning. But this evening. I believe that's what Peter was going through. But let me give you a little statement here. Now, you hold fast to this principle, okay? In fact, if you remember anything I said, or you're taking any notes at all, write this down. The failures of your past does not disqualify you for success in your future. Did you hear that now? The failures of your past does not disqualify you for success in your future, as long as you'll turn to God in whatever difficulty or problem you have. And, you know, just kind of getting a little elementary here for a moment, the scriptures tell us in 1 John that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know what? There's a lot of self-righteous people today, and that's why John added this last verse to 1 John, chapter 1, that if you say you haven't sinned, you call God a liar. And so we need to make sure every day that our life is right with God. I'm not saying live in sin consciousness to where we're like an old worm dragon. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about on a daily basis. Examine your heart, examine your life, and say, God, I want to live for you today, and I want you, Holy Spirit, to lead, guide, and direct me. And if I've done anything, quicken it to my heart, something that needs to be confessed or something I need to get right with someone else. And I've just got on to something here right now. Let me just get on with this message. But remember that. The failures of your past does not disqualify you for success in your future. So the scriptures tell us very plainly that we do have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Hallelujah. We have an advocate with the Father. Now, here we find this prophecy Jesus gave to Peter. But you know what? I thank God every day that I have a relationship with him where he can speak to my heart. I'm not perfect by any means. But there's a couple of others that are maybe a little more perfect than I am, but not many. Just making sure you're awake. But you know what? It's interesting here that when the Lord said this to Peter about your faith failing not, why did he pray for his faith? What was the reason that he prayed for his faith? Why didn't Jesus just deliver him and set him free from satanic attack? Why did he talk about his faith? Because faith is what makes the believer tick. That's why God said, without it, it's impossible to please him. So we've got to have it. The Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. So he talked about faith. Listen, faith is a way of life. It's a way of life. It's not a parachute to bail you out of some dilemma. Sometimes people will say, you know what, I've got a major problem in my life. I've got to muster up some faith. All you need is faith as a grain of mustard seed. And Jesus said you can speak to this tree and it'll be cast into the sea. And we know what mountain-moving faith will do. But people will say, if I could just muster up some faith, you know, I'm having a tough time. No, it's something you walk in, something you talk in, and something you live in every day. That's what faith is. It's not an escape mechanism where you, you know, pull a lever like a pilot in a plane and you're ejected out of that plane. That's not what faith is. No. And again, it's not a parachute to bail you out of some dilemma. Of course, it'll work in your life when you call upon God, but you need to be walking by faith every day. And when something begins to happen in your life, you just know by faith God's bringing you through it. Because you're a people of faith, pray. And people of faith are in touch with God all the time. They're not walking around on their knees and praying. They're just living a life of faith. And this is the way God wants it to be. You got up in the morning, you were walking by faith. In noon, you're walking by faith. In the evening, you're going to bed by faith. Marianne and I can be driving around the city and at home, and we'll start the day and we'll say together, we are living by faith, we're driving by faith, we're talking by faith, we're living by faith. So it is a way of life. And that's the way we need to look at it. And whenever you're walking in that way, and it's just a daily experience in the Lord, then you begin to walk in it and talk in it and live in it. Faith will make you dream great dreams and pursue with passion and hope when it appears that all hope is gone. Huh? When it appears all hope is gone. See, that's what happened to Abraham. I know you guys were raised in a faith church. I know that you know because this pastor and his wife and the leadership have trained you guys. But listen, the story of Abraham never gets old. Never, never, ever. And you know what Peter said? You know, sometimes people are sitting in a church and they're like a chipmunk. Because they're so full and not giving anything out. That's why it's so important that these folks from the church here, many of you I'm sure, are going out and sharing what God has done in your life. You don't hold on to it. You go out and give it away. Amen? And so that's so vital. That's so vital that we do that, that we realize that and we do that. But when you start thinking about your dreams, you start thinking about what God is doing for you and done for you. And I always come up with a story of Abraham. You know, God promised him when he was about 75, you're going to have a child. And man, here it is. He's 100 years old and Sarah's 90. And that's when she conceived. And of course, God, she gave birth to Isaac. But when you start covering, looking at his life and talking about this man who was the father of faith, when you start looking at his life, do you realize that Sarah died at 135? And Abraham got married again at 145. And he had 6 more children. I like to say Abraham's my hero. I told Marianne here a while back when we had our last grandchild, I said to her, I say, honey, it looks like it's up to me and you now. We got to have another one. She said, I'm not Sarah, and you're certainly not Abraham. But, you know, I love the story of this man of God and woman of God and how God said he was going to bless them. And here's what it says in the book of Hebrews about that. I love this. That by faith and patience, they inherited the promise, obtained the promise. And you know what God said to him, what the writer of Hebrews says? That when God could find none greater than himself, that he swore by himself. In other words, he said, Abraham, I swear that I will multiply you, I will bless you, I'll bless you abundantly. And then he gave him his word, and then he gave him his oath. 2 immutable things It's impossible for God Almighty to lie. If he said it, he'll do it. Will he not bring it to pass? Absolutely. If he said it, he'll do it. If he said it, he will fulfill what he has declared. And you know, that's why I love to talk about the definition of faith. Because the definition of faith is simply believing God told the truth when he wrote this book. Every promise in here, the Bible said every promise in Christ is yes and amen to the glory of God the Father. And so God told the truth in this book. He wrote it for us. And so when you realize that, that's what faith is. Or I go a little further and say faith is believing without seeing what God says is true and then acting on it. Hallelujah. And then whenever you start believing God, you start lifting the request up before the Lord. And when you start doing that, you don't see it, but you believe it. Hallelujah. You don't even have to feel it, but you believe it. And so that's what faith is, simply believing it, what God has declared in the book. Hallelujah. It'll bring you through every time. Every time it'll bring you through. We've had things that have happened, and these guys that are here tonight, they know they've seen some of the miracles that God's done at Trinity. And one of the biggest miracles is that Dale Gentry was there preaching one time, and he said that I'm going to be back in about 3 months, and we're going to burn the mortgage on this church. I thought, I didn't invite him back. But if he's going to burn a mortgage, he's certainly welcome to come back. So it got down to just, you know, finishing up the meetings. And so Dale left, and but when he did, people started selling boats and motors and all of that. We owed the final, I know this doesn't sound like much, but $278,000 on the facilities. And we cleared that in one day. One Sunday. And here's the thing about it. Dale called about a week before we were to have him back. And he said, "Do you still want me to come?" And Billy Burns, the guy sitting here, said, "We're either going to burn a mortgage or burn a profit, one or the other." So Dale came back, and the service started about 10 o'clock in the morning. And as he began to preach, as he began to just, you know, he actually went over the message he had preached there a couple of months earlier when he said he was going to come back. And as he preached that message, and he said, "All right, now bring your money. We're going to clear the mortgage today." I'm thinking $278,000 in one day. Now, I was thinking of commitments or pledges, whatever you want to call them. I prefer a commitment. But anyway, this lady came up and brought a $500 check, and or brought actually a pledge. She brought it up and said, "I want to pledge this $500. Dale said, no. No pledges. I'm thinking, yeah, a pledge, a pledge is okay. And so she changed it, and then she came up with 500 cash. And people started leaving the building and going. I thought they were leaving the service to just get away. But they were going home and getting money and coming back and presenting their money. And we had a person up there with one of our secretaries with an ad machine. Boy, she was just going after it, you know, just tallying it up as they brought it up. And so... Is that accurate? Ad machine? What do they call them now? Okay. Yeah, calculator. Come on now. But anyway, boy, they were just getting with it, you know, and they kept bringing it. And then about, say, 1 o'clock, it just began to almost die down. And little kids started bringing 10 cents, 25 cents, a dollar. And Dale treated it like it was $1,000. I remember him talking to those little children, thanking them for their offering. You know, Dale Gentry is a man of God. He really is. And I'll tell you this about him, and this is why your pastors have him. It's not just necessarily how accurate he is, even though that is great. I mean, in fact, we got to have a prophet that's accurate when you start prophesying over our people. But the thing I like about Dale and Jean, they are godly people. They're holy people. Their lot, their character is tremendous. And, of course, the accuracy is awesome as well. But I look first at character before I do anything else when you start having somebody in like that. But Dale just treated those little kids just like they were, you know, an adult bringing $1,000 down there. And do you know, as he did that, I usually talk with a lapel or, anyway, I get away from this every once in a while. But about, say, an hour later, no, 30, 45 minutes later, it picked up again. And people started bringing the money in. And it came down to the last $25,000. And 25 people came forward and gave $1,000 apiece. And so they told me behind me, they were just calculating, the ad machine. They were just calculating. And they said, Pastor, that's it, $278,000. And I did something I always wanted to do. I said, like Moses did, refrain from bringing, for there's more than enough. Hallelujah. That's awesome. But you see, that type of thing doesn't happen except by believing God and believing his prophets and knowing that God has spoken, and you believe it and you go for it. And we burn that mortgage. And the day we burn that mortgage, Marianne danced, and somebody wrote a note and said, sign it off and saying, for a person who wants to see Marianne dance again. So at any rate, I love my wife. We've been together for 54 years, as I said earlier. But I thought I always need to clean up the act a little whenever I'm talking about her, you know. I have to. I need to. But at any rate, a miracle from God. That's exactly what it was. Actually, God's people just believed. They believed. Faith began to rise in their heart. Man, to carry that $278,000 to the bank and clear that mortgage, that was awesome, 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 awesome. Praise God, praise God. And Pastor Bob mentioned this morning about the 16 acres. Listen, 16 acres in Palm Beach County, Florida, that is awesome, awesome. Now, we've got almost 40 acres now, 37. But I tell you, the way that property came, it was behind our property and was going to be such a blessing, but they were not willing to sell. And you can see dollar signs, you know. And so they were not willing. So we kept, you know, saying, look, we want this property. And you know what? I don't know if y'all have ever done this before. Probably have. Probably when you were in the post office. But we had a Jericho march around that property. A couple of them. Just fanatics, man. We walked around that property shouting. It works, yeah. And so, anyway, they picked the guy up for running drugs. And they seized his property and made it available for bidding on. And so, for the 16 acres, they were asking $405,000. Listen, that's chicken feed when it comes to 16 acres in Palm Beach County. And so they said, we'll give you 30 days to bring the money. 30 days came, we didn't have the money. 30 more days, they said, we'll give you another 30. And then they said, we'll give you another 30. Still didn't have the money. We were raising it, it was coming in, but we just told them, look, we don't have it all in yet. They gave us 30 more days. And finally, they just said, look, when you get it, pay for it. And so we did that, raised the money, paid $405,000, and got that 16 acres. And so, that was God. And God's people, you know, you don't do it by yourself. God's people. And so it's such an awesome thing when you see the Lord work in that way. And so we talk about what happened to Abraham. Abraham's faith caused him to hope against hope, or he hoped on in faith. In other words, when all hope was gone, his faith caused him to continue hoping. Hallelujah. You say, why is hope so important? Because hope, there is, listen, faith's got to have something to feed on. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so Abraham just kept on hoping. And that's what you need to do tonight. You're believing for maybe a lost loved one. We've all got lost loved ones. Just keep believing God, but keep your hope alive so faith can keep feeding on that hope. And your faith won't fail. You won't let it fail because you're going to stay active in the Word, and you're going to stay active in what God has said, and you're going to stay active in prayer. And as a result of that, your faith is not going to fail, but you're going to continue. You know, the Bible talks about that, the fact that we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. What's the word of our testimony? A word that you declare that lines up with the word of Almighty God. Hallelujah. That's how we overcome. And so we continue pressing right on with God and believing that God is doing that work within our life. And, of course, listen, when someone's faith begins to fail, they begin to feel that slipping away. They stop the pursuit of their life's dream. Of their life's dream. They stop pursuing. They once pursued with passion and with drive, and now they can't see anything but defeat. And they're tired. And you know, I preached a message recently at our church to the seniors in our church. And just to the seniors, well, actually to the whole congregation, but I addressed the seniors. Do you know what? Seniors really have problems when they start getting older and they start, I mean, they have problems. But anyway, I started ministering to them and just laying out the word. And here's what some of them say. Pastor, I've paid my dues. Bob, have you ever heard that? I've paid my dues. Let the younger ones do it. This couple, if you want to talk about paying dues, they paid their dues. But they don't look at it that way. As long as there's breath in their body, they're going to keep pursuing and keep going forward. Hallelujah. So that's all you say, well, why are they still? Man, they could be enjoying the final, you know, years, ever how many years they have, instead of working in the life of the church. Are you kidding me? There's nothing more exciting than working in the life of the church. And so that's what Marianne and I talk about. Listen, we're going to keep on. As long as there's breath in my body, I'm going to keep preaching this gospel. Hallelujah. And that's what they're going to do. Amen. It's not time to quit. It's time to press on. Hallelujah. And believe in God. And the same is true of every one of you. You may not be a pastor, you know, whatever. But God is there. And I love to talk about vision. I'm not going to get into vision tonight. But I did talk about dreams. Dreams and vision. You know the difference between a dream and a vision? I'm not going to tell you. But anyway, a dream always precedes the vision. Dreams ignite or fuel visions. So if you have a, before you can have a big vision, you've got to have a big dream. And what I'm not talking about going to sleep at night and dreaming in your sleep. God can do that. But I'm talking about a sanctified imagination. Hallelujah. You say, come on, Pastor, the imagination. Yeah, get your imagination sanctified to where you're thinking about the things of God and you're pressing in and trusting God. That's the way to go. And God will touch you and begin to expand with those dreams. And all of a sudden, it's going to become a great vision. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you just keep right on keeping on for the glory of God. Now, something happened to me about 2 years after I'd been saved. And I just want to share this with you. That God knows what you're walking through. And I was driving down the road, and I saw an accident where a man, actually two people, were killed in an accident. My faith had been shaken already, and I feel like it was being tested severely. And just about two years old in the Lord. And I felt like that, but I ran to the Word. See, we need to always run to the Word of God. Amen. When you feel the testing coming, I love what Joyce Meyer says. Don't panic. This is only a test. Hallelujah. Don't panic. It's only a test. So anyway, I begin to read in the Scriptures where it said, fear not those who can destroy the body, but fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. And I thought, oh God, how true that is. And that scripture brought me back on place. It lifted me up out of the miry clay, established my feet more so on that solid rock, hallelujah. And I continued right on walking with God and trusting God. And I thank God that I did. But we need to know that people in all walks of life can face times when their faith can almost fail, or you lose heart, or you want to drop out. There's too many dropouts in the body of Christ. This book will keep you on track, trusting the Holy Spirit to guide you through the Word of God, and that'll keep you on track, and your faith is not going to fail. Just don't be surprised when God begins to tell you, look, son, daughter, I've got this for you to do or that to do. Just believe God and keep right on going. Yeah, just trust him. Believe him. Hallelujah. Now, people will say, well, Pastor, I'm not tired and I'm not going to be a dropout. My problem is getting hit by attacks of the devil from all directions, it seems. It's depressing or it's discouraging. The difficulties are more than I can handle, maybe more than you can handle, but not more than what God can handle. Amen? Now listen to something that Billy Graham said. He talked about adversity, that adversity will come in life. And here's what Billy said. Comfort and prosperity have never enriched the world as much as adversity has. Think about that. We all believe in prosperity. We all believe in comfort. We all know that. But he said it is the adversity that causes you to grow. Do you know why? You press through. And God, I mean, thank God, during good times, you know, I'm not really experiencing adversity. God still blesses us, but there's times when he does things in our life and you have a testimony because of what God's brought you through. Hallelujah. So I love again what Billy said. Let me say that again. Comfort and prosperity have never enriched the world as much as adversity has. And I believe that's a true statement. I don't get hung up on that. I'm just saying thank God. Now let me give you five keys to surviving difficult times. Some of you said, dear God, Pastor, five keys? I'm going to give them to you in 3 minutes. Are you ready? Here they are. Number one, by the way, listen. If you're having a problem with your marriage, just trust the Lord. And I'm saying this because there was a lady, or really there was a man that said to his wife, said, how could you be so beautiful and stupid at the same time? She said, well, God made me beautiful so you'd be attracted to me, and made me stupid so I'd be attracted to you. Find some tidbits like that and add it to your life. And then there was two men fishing. Marianne says, honey, you've told too much of this stuff, humor. But two men fishing. One of them was named Joe. One of them was named Mo. And Joe said to Mo, I'm going to divorce my wife. And Mo said, how come, Joe? Said, she hadn't spoken to me in 2 months. And Joe said, well, man, don't divorce her. Said, women like that are hard to find. So she's not laughing. I'm moving on. Okay, so five keys to surviving difficult times. Here's the first one. Number one, creating a pure heart. Creating a pure heart. David cried out to God for a clean heart. Of course, you know the mistakes and problems that he made. But we need to create a pure heart. We need to desire to walk with God in purity and in holiness. It's not a bad word. holiness. We need to understand. So creating a pure heart. And you know what scripture I love to use there? I love to use that scripture where it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. One translation says, my firm, impenetrable rock and fortress. So if you can get your talking right, you just talk right and you think right. If you're talking right and thinking right, you're going to be living a clean life. So number one is create a pure heart. Number two, this is a scripture, hey, praising God in our circumstances. What is praise? Faith in action. Amen? So you keep praising God. Number three, understand who we are. We were talking about this at lunch today. Do you realize that it's not so much who you are, it's who He is in you? The Bible tells us in the book of Colossians that He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost living on the inside of you. That's why we can say greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. So when you know who Jesus is in you, then you can better understand who you are in Him. Can you say a big amen to that? Glory to God. And then number four. Number four is, I said 3 minutes. I've probably gone over a minute or two. But walking by faith. That's what I've been talking about. I'm talking about your faith not failing. But you walk by faith. You don't walk by sight. You don't walk by feeling. You walk by faith. Number five, focus. Keep your mind focused on God. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Hallelujah. Call upon Him while He is near. Now, honey, I'm going to have to share this as I end, okay? I'm going to have to share this. Okay. She said, that's four jokes. That's what she said. She said, that's four. Well, let me just share this because it goes along with the message. It goes along with a minute. Well, maybe I need to pass. Should I share it, Bob? Pastor Bob? How deep am I? I'm pretty deep into it right now. Let me just share this real quick because it's something that you can always look at somebody and remind them of this. There was this guy that had this pet store, and he had an unbelievable parrot that had a great vocabulary. Have you heard it? Y'all have all heard it? Okay, well, I won't tell it then. How many want me to tell it? Okay, honey, look at these hands. And so here comes this missionary and his wife, and he has the parrot outside in a cage, and here comes this missionary and his wife walking by. And as they walk by, the parrot said, hey, mister, hey, mister. And the missionary turned around and said, what? He said, that's the ugliest woman I have ever seen. Looks like somebody beat her with an ugly stick. The guy was livid. He went in the pet store and told the owner. The owner came out, opened the cage, reached in and grabbed him, slapped him around, yanked out some of his feathers, and threw him back in and said, if you ever do that again, you're really going to get it. 2 weeks later, here comes the missionary and his wife again. He sees them coming. He looks and sees. He sees him. He watches him. He's watching him. And as they get past him, he said, hey, mister! Hey, mister! And the missionary turns around and said, what? He said, you know what. So, the next time you guys run across some problems, people in the church may be complaining or somebody, just say, you know what that pastor said. All I've got to say in my church is, you know what? And people just start laughing all of a sudden because they remember. Pastor Bob, just tell them, you know what. All right, enough of that. If I say anything else, Marianne is just going to give me a big kiss. Run up here and give me a big kiss. She said, no, that won't happen. Hallelujah. I want to pray with you tonight. You know, there could be some of you, and I know there's been some humor in this, but there's some of you that maybe are facing the failing of your faith, or just a struggle that you're walking through, I want to pray for you tonight. I just want to believe God for you tonight, that God's going to do something in your life. I can lay hands on you and pray for you, or you can stand by your pew, whichever you desire, and I'm going to pray for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. One or the other, either stand by your pew or come forward. I'll lay hands on you if you want me to lay hands on you. Say, boy, not after all of that stuff. I don't know if I want you to or not. Strong impartation. Hallelujah. All right, my brother. Just stand right there. I'll be right down there. Man, you look like you need a load tonight. I'm going to pray for you and believe God. Hallelujah. Well, Father, let me step down here with you, brother. Let me just back up a little bit here. Let me stand in front of you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, you know our brother's heart. Lord, you see exactly what's going on in his life tonight. He loves you. He's in the house of God on this Easter Sunday evening. He's here because he came to receive what you might have for him. So I lay hands on him right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. The Lord says, put another piece of wood on the fire. Keep refueling. Keep going forward. Keep believing. Don't back up. When others say, man, are you crazy bringing your money out to that church and serving God there? In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for him tonight, and we thank you that your hand is mightily resting upon his life right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I may have something to say over you. I may not. Maybe just a prayer. If you guys would just back up a little and let me just come here. Thank you, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for touching and ministering to him tonight. By the power of the Holy Ghost. By the power of the Holy Ghost. By the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, my God. Ila bakura bahanda de bekila kaya la basura baha. Ina kaya nana masur. Ukura baha ya nana makura. Ila basara bakaya. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you for the anointing. Thank you for the anointing. The anointing, the anointing, the anointing. Oh, you say God has touched many, but he's left me out. No, he hasn't either. Tonight he's doing that work in you. There's an anointing of God that's coming upon your life afresh and anew. Afresh and anew. The anointing of God. The anointing of God. Ila bakura bahande de bikila kayala basur. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for strengthening my sister, for ministering to her by the power of the Holy Ghost. The Lord says daily, get up saying, today is a victorious day. It's a victorious day. Whether it feels like it, whether it looks like it, you get up declaring it. This is a victorious day. By faith, I speak it. By faith, I speak it today. It is a glorious day. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you, Father, for our sister. Oh, hallelujah. Minister to her tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus, she's not backing off. She's going forward. She's trusting you. Hallelujah. When all else fails, she's trusting you right in the middle of the thing she's walking through tonight. You're doing a work in her life. Thank you, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, Thank you, Lord. 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 Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the Spirit of God. Oh, that's doing this work right now in my sister. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. Oh, it's happening. It's happening. Spirit of the Lord. Spirit of the Lord. What you sense is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, for the Holy Ghost. Oh, our faith will not fail. There's things that would come to try. Adversity that would try to hinder her. She's walking by faith. She's going to continue trusting you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Thank you, my God. Thank you, my God. Touch this couple tonight, Lord. Lay your hand upon them. Lay your hand upon them. I just hear the words, a new work. Sweet. Hallelujah, hallelujah. A new work, a new work, a new work. God's doing a new work in you tonight, in both of you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord. Bless this couple. Work in them by the Holy Ghost. Yes. No adversity. No adversity is bigger than what God can handle. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Father, for the ministry of the Spirit in their life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Midnight hour. I feel like there's just no use going on. God says, yes, there is. Yes, there is. He's doing things with you that you can't even begin to fully comprehend. There's times when you may dream about it in your own thoughts. The Lord's doing something special in you. Hallelujah. The anointing. The anointing. The anointing. The anointing. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the anointing, the anointing, the anointing, the anointing, the anointing, the anointing, the anointing. Mm. Thank you, Father. 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 Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God hears the cry of your heart. Oh, the enemy would like to come and say, no, 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 no. That'll never happen. The Lord hears the cry of your heart. Hallelujah. 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 Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray for this brother. I pray that your hand is upon him. I believe it is. And there's a strong anointing coming upon his life. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, you want to anoint all your people. You want to touch each of them. If they're working in the nursery, there's an anointing to be there. If they're on the streets, there's an anointing to be there. If they're teaching a class, there's an anointing to be there. Hallelujah. And you will supply to us that which we need to continue on doing the work of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, bless you. Bless you. Thank you, Lord, for this God. Undergird and strengthen them in a powerful way. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, Rabba Hamda de Mekura Masina Kayatabasha. Yes. Yes. Oh, your faith is not going to fail. You love God too much. You're holding fast to the promises. In the middle of it all, you're holding fast. Your faith is not failing. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, Rabasana, touch my sister, Lord, tonight. Minister in her that which she needs. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. 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 Lord, we just believe that your word tonight has found a lodging place in every heart. There's no backing down. There's no walking off. But your word has found a lodging place in their hearts tonight. And be grab a hold of this. I mentioned a moment ago that Abraham, by faith and patience, obtained the promise. We get so impatient when we're talking to God or asking Him for various things in our life or desiring to see a particular work. Always remember, faith itself is awesome, but patience is helps you endure. It helps you stand. Faith appropriates the promise, but patience holds fast till it's manifested.
Amen.
It's like a bridge crossing a river. The bridge is faith, but the columns is patience that holds the bridge up. It's like a bird with both wings. It's a dual force. You cut off one wing, the bird just goes around a circle. But with the force of both wings, the bird can fly. So always remember how important patience is. Faith and patience will appropriate the promises. Hallelujah. Praise God. Pastor Bob, I'm going to turn it back over to you. You want me just to dismiss my brother? Hallelujah. Okay. Glory to God. Yes, praise God.
Thank you so much for the word tonight, Pastor. Amen. I want us to pray. We've had a call. Rachel and Joseph Truitt. The little baby they checked into Cook's Hospital, has an infection, and they ask us to pray service tonight. So we want to remember that. I mentioned this morning about Jerry Morgan. She's the lady who comes in a wheelchair, sits sort of to my right in that section there. She really needs a miracle in her body. And also, I want us to remember Evangelist Glenn Shin in our prayers. His eyesight has been a challenge, as you know. And you know, it's so amazing. There's a lot of needy people. Thank God. Thank God things are as good as they are. And Brother Glenn is not able to drive, not able to preach. This man's driven coast to coast for years. And he calls me a couple times a week and said, Pastor, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. Isn't that something? I'm praying for you. And just real spirit of encouragement. We need each other. I love that Isaiah 41, how that one craftsman encouraged the other. And that's the way it is. And then with Jerry Morgan, she's had a kidney, isn't it? Transplant. Anyway, she needs a miracle. And they're trying to do surgery tomorrow, if it's at all possible, to clear something. Why don't we get the Truitt baby? Someone come stand for the Truitt baby here. Praise God, if you will. Yeah. And for Jerry Morgan, a couple of ladies just coming. It's just important to pray for one another, isn't it? And then Evangelist Lynn Shin. We were both in Bible college together. He's been an evangelist as long as I've been a pastor. Want to hold him up and believe for every miracle that is needed. Father God, we just reach out. And some may not even know the people that we're praying for. But Father, we pray for Jerry Morgan tonight. She needs a miracle in her body. Whatever that complication is, Father, we're just asking you in the name of Jesus, clear it up. And we ask you, Father, that for the healing power of God from the tip of her head to the soles of her feet. We lift up this baby. Praise God, this precious little heart. Amen. Bella. Oh, God, we just ask you to touch right now whatever that infection is in that little body. Lord, just clear it up, we pray tonight. In the name of Jesus. Clear it up, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your healing power. Father, we lift up Evangelist Glenshin. And I just, Lord, encourage his heart. Bless him. Stand with faith in Glenn tonight. Father, we stand with him in faith, believing that our God is an awesome God, that nothing is impossible with our God tonight. We give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Praise God. I wonder if you'd just take about 120 seconds. Let's pray in the Spirit for Archer. We've had a great day. Let's just believe that we're headed for greater victories, greater victories. Father, we pray for our church tonight. Father, we thank you for greater victories. Greater victories. More souls. Greater harvest. Greater breakthroughs. Oh, Father, we call in people from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Bring them in, Father. Oh, we call in finances from the north, the south, the east, and the west. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise God. Amen. Well, how many have the victory tonight? You have it. You do have it. The life of God abides in you tonight. I said the life of God. Oh, glory to God. The life of God. All right, stand if you love to bless our dear brother tonight. Just place an offering in the offering buckets up here, and we'll be sure that is a blessing to him. Amen. Well, it's been a great day. It's been a great day. We've been like Jesus. We fed the multitudes today. Amen. We've seen people come to the Lord Jesus Christ, people born again. What a day. What a day. Thank you for being with us, Pastor Tom Marion. What a blessing. Amen. Thank you for sharing the Word of God with us tonight. Have I forgotten anything? Life, is that your family? All right. My 2-year-old cousin is in a car wreck. Both of his legs were broken. Father, we lift up this 2-year-old right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just say either an instant healing or quick healing in those legs, that those legs will heal right. Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. To God.